Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made of
another show. Well, it was another interesting week of performances for me. Now, I say performance instead of theater because although I saw a trio of works that were theoretically on stages, they do not necessarily qualify as traditional theater going, but they serve to remind you how many things are out there if you can find them. But first, I did catch up with one production which opened earlier this month on Broadway. This is Bernhardt Hamlet, written by Teresa Riebeck, who has to be the most prolific creator in entertainment. And I use that word because although she is primarily known as a playwright, she has written for screens large and small, including Smash, the short-lived TV series about the New York theater scene. Bernhardt Hamlet is most noteworthy for its leading lady, the Tony Award-winning actress Janet McTeer. The production at the American Airlines Theater is in a limited and I don't think hugely successful run, and because it is so early in the season, it could be forgotten come Tony nomination time. Which is too bad because Janet McTeer is astoundingly good in this role. And I can't imagine who will be better. Well, maybe Glenda Jackson, another Brit, and one who will be playing no less than King Lear. Which is interesting since McTeer here is playing the famous actress Sarah Bernhardt, who bravely took on the role of Shakespeare's Prince of Denmark. It's still challenging now for a woman to take on an iconic male role, but imagine what it was like in 1897 in Paris. The play is 2.5 hours, occasionally feels repetitive, but overall it's a nicely structured work and features a top-notch cast surrounding McTeer, especially Dylan Baker and Jason Butler Harner. And talk about your Me Too shows. When McTeer raises her arms and exclaims that men want their women to remain as ingenues and the women aren't having it, well, the heavily female audience goes crazy. There are wonderful lines here, primarily having to do with the world of the stage. He respects the players, but not the play. All theater is an act of ego. Ah, yes, and one for folks like me. You're criticizing the show before you even see it, notes one character. Well, I'm a critic, comes a response. There are also interesting insights into Shakespeare's play itself. Was Hamlet 19 or closer to 30, for example? Well, we hear both sides. Can anyone dare to rewrite the play? Also dealt with here. And finally, if the Bard had men playing women, would he have approved of Sarah Bernhardt playing Hamlet? The revolving sets within sets are serviceable, nothing fancy. The play is not perfect and could still be tighter, but I don't say this often. It was a true privilege to watch its leading lady play this role with such obvious relish. No one upstages me, the character claims strongly. Well, I would say the same about Janet McTeer. By the way, I love when things connect, and later in the week, two things happen. I visited a huge Delacroix exhibit at the Met, and there were a pair of his paintings, both entitled Hamlet and Horatio, at the graveyard. The words under the painting explain that this was the first Shakespearean subject Delacroix painted, and its rejection by the Salon jury made the painting a scandal. I also started reading a dishy nonfiction book called Playing to the Gods about Bernhardt and one Eleonora Duse, who would become her most serious competitor, albeit with a totally different style of acting, much more the innate method variety. One of the lines in that book reads, Sarah invented the culture of the exotic, eccentric celebrity. There would be no Lady Gaga without Bernhardt. As a first world superstar, Sarah originated the notion of merchandising herself. Well, it goes on, and it is the perfect accompaniment to the play. And now for those three other forms of performance that I mentioned at the beginning. In Your Face New York combines music and topical humor and has been picking up something of a reputation around the city. It has found a regular home now at Merkin Hall and performs with a different cast every 2 or 3 months or so. The one I just saw was hosted by New Yorker writer Adam Gopnik, and included songs by Melissa Errico as well as a proudly lesbian trio called Betty. The next one will be in early December, and you might check it out. Another event I attended was a reading of a new musical on its way to an off-Broadway production next year. Radio 930 deals with the impact of rock and roll in Berlin in the 70s. Back to my visit to the Met for a coincidental moment. As I am strolling, I notice a minor exhibit, a video installation called Stasi City, referring, of course, to the East German secret police, which is a huge part of this budding musical. Anyway, it's always fun to see plays in gestation and admire how long dedicated folks have been working on it. I'd seen an earlier version of Radio 930, and the show does seem to be moving along. Let's hope it doesn't take as long to get a full production as it was for that wall to come down. Now, readings like the one I saw are generally private for potential investors or writers to start the buzz, and here I am buzzing, but there are often readings open to the public you will find online or in publications like Time Out or The New Yorker. And speaking of readings, the most fascinating I saw this past week was at the 92nd Street Y, where a stellar cast, one at a time, standing behind a lectern, read from Philip Roth's book, The Plot Against America. It was described as a literary performance, and yes, it was. John Hamm, Andre Holland, Elizabeth Marvel, Maggie Siff, John Turturro, Michael Stolberg were among this group of nine who interpreted Roth's incredibly and eerily prescient 2004 novel. Lines about the terror of the unforeseen and a president, in that case it's Charles Lindbergh, who is, quote, enthralled to this country's worst enemy, and so on. There is also a passage in the book about a bombing at a synagogue the day before. Well, this performance was on Sunday, the day after the tragic Pittsburgh shooting. What we heard over almost 7 hours, yes, you heard right, was apparently an abridged version well done by one James Shapiro. Though I have read the book, and I can't think of much that was left out, at least anything that would be considered critical. This event also felt like a privilege to watch. Keep an eye on the 92nd Street Y website. My hunch, or perhaps it's just my hope, is that they will find a way of making what happened Sunday accessible to others. So, who knows if a project like that will become a trend of sorts? The Minetta Lane Theater, along with Audible, is starting to hire actors to read books aloud. The first, called Girls and Boys, starred Carey Mulligan. And by the way, Audible is planning one about, well, full circle here, Philip Roth. As we've discussed here before, who knows how many books are adaptable to stage and so fit the moment. But Jill, The Plot Against America clearly came at the right one.
Well, that sounds like theater and work are... sounds like you have to pay attention now at the theater. Shows you saw, at least.
Yeah. I got to say, I was pretty impressed with seven hours. Most of that audience stayed put. I'd say by the after the second intermission, maybe a quarter of the people had left. You know, probably had dinner plans. But on the other hand, you know, there they were, and you got to give them credit. 92nd Street Y does not. But it was a very mixed age group, I would say, which is not always true at the Y.
Right. And I'm just curious, how did they, how was it promoted? Was it?
You know that sold out in one day? One day. It was put on, I think it was maybe announced, you know, certain places. I got it from the 92nd Street Y, or they had a sign out there. Literally, in one day, it was sold out. And yet, there were empty seats there. But as I always say here, that can happen. You know, things do sell out, and there's always no show. So I always encourage people, just go to the theater. You'll probably get a seat at the last minute.
Right.
Sold out. I gotta give credit.
And moving to always can get a seat, just jumping over to your half price tickets and
yep.
Have you yet seen
Ferryman?
No, actually I was going to say My Fair Lady, so you've got the F right.
Oh, there, I got that yet.
No, that's not half price. I just wondered.
They won't let me come yet. They say, get back to us in the middle of November, because they consider this Laura Benanti's preview time. They want to give her 2 weeks to get her performance. So that's how they deal with the press on this.
Okay.
That she's still, she's new to it. She just started on Tuesday.
Right,
so
and everybody has to fit themselves in.
Exactly. Though I'm already hearing from people that she's terrific, and I'm not surprised about that. No, I was going to bring up Ferryman, which obviously is getting tremendous reviews, which I haven't seen, but I'll try to see it this week or next. That's 3 hours and 15 minutes, I think. So and it's about a tough subject, a lot of characters. So again, probably not for the Jersey Boys crowd, but who knows?
And just from a financial standpoint, we don't have that much time. But just from a financial standpoint, how does that work? How is this?
You mean having a large cast versus a small cast?
No, I mean having a bunch of dramas that you have to. Really commit a fair amount of time to.
You mean an audience member?
From an audience standpoint, and from simply because that's does seem to be the bulk of the season this go round.
Yeah, and I wondered if they were doing fewer shows. When a show is, I think when Iceman Cometh was here last year, which is 4 hours, they did not do two in a day. I don't believe they might have on a weekend, but I know they did on Wednesdays. They are with Ferryman. I think that they start the matinees early. They start them at 1, so you're out by 4:15, and mostly it gives the actors, 3 more hours before they do their 8 o'clock show. Also, big cast like that, but that one comes from England and obviously has backing behind it, but you wonder why so many shows these days come open with 4 characters, and that's usually a financial decision. And playwrights know that when they're writing a play now. Very few have the nerve that a Jez Butterworth has, or Eugene O'Neill, or whatever, when they wrote plays for 23 people. You wouldn't even do that now unless you really had backing behind you up front.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.